Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Okay, Justin Dillon was a rock muso travelling the world chasing his dreams until a conversation with a teenage girl in Russia changed everything. That girl, his tour translator, was telling him excitedly about her opportunity to travel to the United States. Dillon soon realised she was being tricked, was about to become the next victim of global sex trafficking. From that moment on, Dillon's career changed. He set about gathering support to make a documentary exposing the shocking realities of human trafficking. That film is out now. It's called Call and Response, and it includes a range of artists and personalities, from Daryl Hannah to Madeleine Albright, from Switchfoot to Natasha Bedingfield. Justin Dillon is in Australia now, on the line. Welcome to Australia, Justin, and congratulations on the documentary.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Yeah, now I took a look at the documentary during the week, and it's really a great piece of work, especially considering the fact that you're a musician. You didn't set out to be a filmmaker.
No, not at all, much less an activist at any level. what I did set out to do was, you know, and I always call it a film, is more of a performer than just a film. It seeks an audience to react, and so that's what I put into the film itself, is not just to explain something, but to get a reaction.
Mm-hmm. I think you're going to get that. Tell me more about that conversation with that Russian translator and what that conversation led to from that point on.
Well, it was a very innocent conversation and very just something in passing. Just learning. I'd known a little bit about human trafficking and modern-day slavery, and to be honest, it wasn't real high on my radar. But as these girls that we were meeting in Russia were telling us about these opportunities to come to the West, they sounded really similar to what, at that point, I'd heard was called human trafficking. Mm. So it led to a very concerned conversation with them and you know, bringing up to them that this is something that happens and that they are prime targets for this type of exploitation. They, of course, had no idea that that's existed. I think the thing that was most compelling to me about that, and I think more than anything bothered me, was that here's someone whose desire to come to the West completely blinds them from the reality of how easy they would be to be exploited. Even having a conversation with her and explained to her, you know what, you know, we can't say with any 100% degree because we're not investigators, but this looks completely bogus. We can say with 90% certainty that you are about to be exploited. Even with that, she was still pretty interested in coming.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's what, 1 million people get trafficked through the United States every year, and 17,000 come into the United States every year.
Yeah.
I don't know what the figures are for Australia, but I know that we're very, very high too. We're a destination country as well.
Mm-hmm. If they want to come, if we're the destination and they have these dreams of coming here, I think it's our responsibility. If we're exporting these wonderful dreams of Western affluence, then we need to be the ones that are being responsible, make sure that they're not getting exploited.
Yeah. So, Justin, you said about making this documentary to raise awareness of the problem, and you do what anybody does to start such a documentary. You email Daryl Hannah.
Right. Go no further then. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just surprising. You actually got a response too.
Yeah. Funny thing is, anybody can email her. I just emailed her from her website. I think what's more, you know, obviously more interesting is that she emailed back, and I think that has very little to do with me. In fact, nothing. It has more to do with how passionate she is about this issue.
Because she's an activist on the issue, isn't she?
She is an activist, and there's a number of people that are. And she, Daryl Hannah, is, I think she's just an amazing, beautiful figure that puts herself out there, has no artifice around her compassion. So, yeah, she agreed to come down. It was very surprising, but I think it gave the film and the project, it was just a project at the time, it gave it It let me know and the people around me know that there's something happening here that's maybe not normal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then Madeleine Albright and other figures like that, Cornel West, how did you get those kinds of people involved, let alone, you know, Switchfoot, Moby, Natasha Bedingfield, Five for Fighting?
Well, I mean, they're not necessarily anybody I know at all, but I just spent a lot of time getting to the people that I thought would, at least from a talking head perspective, have something to say, not from just a policy-driven perspective, but from a personal perspective. And every one of these people has something to say. As far as the artists that are in the film, I wanted artists that of substance that I knew would, are not about just showing up and lending their face to something, but actually lending their heart and their personality and their substance to something as artists, not as personalities. And so all the performances in the film are, you know, moving. They're deeply moving. Everybody showed up and gave, you know, like they were in front of 20,000 people. It was just incredible.
Yeah. This is Open House Across the Nation. Justin Dillon is the director behind this new rockumentary. We've been calling it a documentary. It's actually a rockumentary. It's a great piece of work. It's called Call and Response, and it focuses on the global slave trade. I hope you'll get a chance to see it, because it's certainly going to move you, I'm sure. So, Justin, the film actually takes viewers into a variety of situations. Probably the most haunting aspect is that the child brothels in Cambodia. Did you actually go there yourself, or was that material you got from somebody else, or what?
No way. We worked with partners. That type of work, that is something that is a very specialized and very protected work that actually a partner of ours, International Justice Mission, did that. And that's not something that you know, anybody should necessarily try at home. What that does expose, though, is the underbelly, and it's not easy to see. But it's all. But however, it's quite vast, and so yeah, you see some disturbing images. But the whole point of the film is not is both to disturb and inspire, which is quite a stretch. That's why we use music as a way to both give courage and inspiration.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. Why you chose a rockumentary kind of approach?
I believe that music has the power to do more than amuse us, and because it's my trade, it's what I've understood, it's what where I came from. I've just always believed that it has a capacity that's greater than we give it in the context as a commodity. So I wanted to investigate and see how far music can go. It's always been a personal belief of mine, and something that I've always gone after, is how do you mix music and justice? I believe that I've always believed that they're inextricably linked. And so part of this film is about discovering that, discovering the roots of what music is and what it's meant to do. And the fact that it has as much to do with freeing our minds and our bodies as it does to do with, you know, freeing other people.
Well, we should talk about the actual name of the film too, Call and Response. There's actually a background and a history to that whole thing. Of course, it's a form that's used for Negro spirituals, and you actually have philosopher Cornel West there giving a bit of history to the phrase.
The only power the slaves had was what? Their voices and their bodies. That's all they had. So they held hands and they raised their voices in antiphonal form, call and response, call and response, which is lifting every voice, because at least at that moment, you have a power and a dignity. That's where you first get those spirituals, in those churches, on the creeks, in the dark, so you couldn't even see each other. But all you have is just your voices being raised, so that maybe somebody in the world now or further down the line will hear your voice and recognize you are human, you have a right to be treated a certain kind of way, and you are worthy of attention.
How would you describe call and response in a nutshell?
Well, it's tension and release. It's a call and it's a response. It's a verse and it's a chorus. It's a performance and it's applause. It's dissonance and resolve. It's back and forth. We didn't have that before 200 years ago. We didn't have that in music, that kind of back and forth, tension, release, tension, release. We had different types of music. But this type of music, which now is the form of all modern music, came out of tension and release. So you get these spirituals that came out of the slave fields were all about freedom. And a lot of times we try to think that it's all about spiritual freedom. That was the original protest music. That was about spiritual freedom and about literal freedom. And they were using metaphors as a way to both talk about a spiritual release, but a planned release. And that's where I think is the beauty in this.
In fact, you would then link that, as you just mentioned there, to the fact that our modern music has been, in some way, can be traced back to slave fields.
Oh, 100%. No doubt about it. And we go into that in the film, and Cornel West does it beautifully. And that's how I was able to get him in the film. I sent him an email and said, again, you can just email him. and I said, I'm making this film. I'm a white kid from the suburbs with two parents who loved me, and I love oppression music. I think that's weird. Can you help me? Can you explain it? And by the way, I believe verse and chorus are descendants of call and response. Please reply. And he did.
Wow. There you go. So you've brought that aspect of music together, the way that it's actually come from the slave fields, and how now you're using it to promote the fact that we need to be aware of the global slave trade, we need to do something about it.
More importantly, we need to respond. The film is the call. The response is what people do with it.
Yeah. What kind of response would you like people to do as a result? What's the dream?
Well, there's kind of an overall dream, which is I want people to understand that slavery is worse today than it ever was before. That's a big thought. That's a big thing to absorb. But we need to call it what it is, slavery. And Australia is in a very unique position to be very strategic in this, and there's lots of ways that they can be a part of it. But I think the first step is to recognize that it is alive and well, and it might look like other things like immigration and prostitution, but we just need to give it the title slavery because we all understand that. Mm-hmm. That's one. Mm-hmm. And two is realize that we're actually all complicit. We tend to think of the issue in terms of slave trade and sex slavery and kids in brothels, but there's actually a whole other side to it that's forced labor that connects to all the supply chains of the products that we use every day. And we have no way of tracing and being completely certain that there isn't slavery in the phones we talk on or the food that we eat or the cars that we drive. And so we need to recognize that as the last link in the supply chain, we actually have not just a responsibility but an opportunity to be able to create tension with the businesses or with the producers that we buy from and start to work with them, not against them, to start auditing and tracing and building transparency in the supply chain. So one of the things that we've helped the viewers of the film, one way, a simple way to do that is to go to a website that we built. In addition to callandresponse.com, we built a website called chainstorereaction.com. Mm-hmm. And that's a way of building communication and critical mass around supply chain transparency. And it's having amazing results. And it's a very simple letter writing campaign we've already got 35,000 emails that have been sent, and companies are replying in mass.
So. Fantastic. Chainstorereaction.com.
Yep. Something okay. Anybody can do.
Yeah, okay, good stuff. All right, now, leave us just with one image that you saw that you'll never forget as a result of some of the research that you did for this documentary. What did you see? What will you never forget?
I'll never forget. There's this one mother who will remain nameless in New York. And, you know, I focused a lot on the issue domestic in the States. I got to meet with a mother and a daughter whose daughter was a runaway and was actually trafficked into at 13 years old. African-American family. The girl was a runaway, trafficked into brothels and strip clubs, and the mother spent 3 months trying to find her. And listening to this mother's determination and love for her daughter, she went to the police, and the police were not helpful. She ended up getting a phone call from her daughter, and she triangulated the cell phone towers and was able to find the neighborhood in which her daughter was being held. Mm-hmm. And she stayed there for weeks canvassing and eventually found her daughter. Mm-hmm. And that image of a mother's tenacity to get her child back will never leave me.
I bet. Obviously drives you to do what you're doing. Well, it's been great to talk to you, Justin. I hope the film does wonderful everywhere it's airing and everywhere that people are viewing it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Justin Dillon, who is a musician and director of Call and Response. It's a new rockumentary on the global slave trade, really worth a view. Those two websites again, callandresponse.com.au. There's an Australian version, callandresponse.com.au, and chainstorereaction.com to do something about it.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.